Hi, everyone. Welcome to the NovaCare Complex here in the Xfinity studio. I'm Dave Spadaro. We've got Eagles Live for you on this Thursday. Big, big day for Eagles fans, for NFL fans. The Eagles, of course, wrapping up this three-day pre-draft minicamp. And the place has been thumping. Lots of music, lots of energy. Eagles on their third day of practice. We'll hear from LeSean McCoy and a handful of other players from the field after this practice is over. Can't wait to get some reaction from players who've been introduced to a new tempo here, a new way of practicing, a new way of conducting their daily business. So it is all really interesting stuff from them, you know. Also, the NFL schedule gets released tonight at 8 o'clock, and we will have that for you at about 7:58, okay? We're going to have that information for you on the website tonight, so make sure you check it out. Some headlines for you. Minicamp wrapping up today. Good stuff going on out there. Trust me on that, people. Trust me. LeSean McCoy meets the media. NFL scheduled tonight. Mike Mayock, and we're going to get to this in just a few moments, the draft guru from NFL Network, has a little conference call that we checked out today. And it talks about the Eagles. In fact, when we get to it, he thinks the Eagles are in such an important position in the draft. You won't believe it, baby. The draft begins next week, and of course we are live beginning Monday at noon with Eagles Draft Live. Got appearances on Monday from Merrill Reese, from Adam Kaplan. We're going to introduce Greg Cosell. You may have heard of him during the week. And Thursday night, of course, we're going to be live starting at 6 o'clock. All the way through the very end of the draft, in which the Eagles have four picks in round number 7. I'm jazzed up because I've seen a little bit of practice. Okay, I saw a little bit of it. I loved it. You guys can't wait to see it. It's going to be so much fun. All right, we got some phone calls to get to. 215-339-6709. Coming up very soon is LeSean McCoy. Adam Kaplan will be coming by the studio as well. 1 week out from the draft, this is the kind of the turning point where all these rumors start to find out if there's a little fire with that smoke. We'll talk to Adam about that shortly. First, some phone calls. Patrick in New Jersey joins us. Hey, Patrick. Hey, I don't have my IFB, and isn't that funny? Isn't that great? So wait, before we get to the phone call, Patrick, hang in there. Hang in there, buddy. Let's get to Mike Mayock. Now, Mike Mayock is on top of the draft, has been on top of the draft since January. Now he's got an idea about the Eagles. Sitting there at number 4, 9 picks in all. He thinks the Eagles are, I think the word he uses is fascinating. Let's have a listen to what Mike Mayock, NFL Network, has to say.
I think the big pressure point in the top 10 this year is the offensive tackle position. And I think you're going to see a run on tackles in general. And depending on how quickly Jokel and Fisher go, Lane Johnson's the next big commodity. And I think there's a couple different pressure points. I think the first pressure point could be if Jokel and Fisher are gone in the first 3 picks, Philadelphia's sitting at 4, and Detroit desperately needs a tackle. So I think Philadelphia is the first pressure point for Lane Johnson. And to be honest with you, I think the Eagles are the most fascinating draft team this year just because I think Chip Kelly thinks outside the box.
And with that, what might the Eagles do at number 4? A lot of speculation about offensive linemen. And one name that is really hot is Lane Johnson from Oklahoma. Could he be an Eagle? That's one of the questions that Mike Mayock ponders.
I think there's an awareness that 4 years ago he was a junior college quarterback. They're talking about a skill position athlete. This is freaky now. He was a quarterback. Then he goes to tight end, defensive end. Oklahoma finds a home for him at left tackle. And his tape, remember, we always go back to the tape. His tape from the beginning of this year, or even the end of last year, up through the Senior Bowl, has improved every single day. And it's because, this is really the answer to your question, as the tape has gotten better, you can see the physical freakish ability. So you've got a 6 foot six plus 310-pound guy that runs a 4.7 40. That's faster than Anquan Boldin did. He jumped 34 inches. That's the same as A.J. Green. He broad jumped 9.10, the same as Stephen Ridley. So you got a 300-pounder who's putting up numbers at the combine like a skill position player. And everybody around the league and around the country now is starting to realize that, wait a minute, we've got this unbelievably freakish athlete who's only played a year and a half at left tackle, and every game you put on gets a little better. How good could he get? And that's what's fueling all this, is that, yeah, Fisher might be a little bit safer and Jokel might be the safest, but this kid's ceiling is unlimited, and you might have a perennial all-pro for 10 years.
Very interesting from Mike Mack. One more cut here. Another offensive lineman. Does everybody in the world think the Eagles are taking an offensive lineman at number four? And if they do, expecting that Luke Jokel is gone and Deion Jordan is gone and maybe Sharif Floyd is gone, is the next player up Eric Fisher, offensive tackle, Philadelphia Eagles? Let's hear what Mack has to say about that.
Heading to the Senior Bowl, I had a list of players, and I talked to some of my buddies around the league, and I said, you better put on some Central Michigan tape before you get to the Senior Bowl. So I looked at the schedule, I said, I'm going to watch Michigan State and Iowa. And I thought he basically pitched a shutout in those two games. Just really impressive movement skills, long arms, big body kid. Thought he could get a little more hip snap in the run game. So I went to the Senior Bowl with a completely open mind, excited to see this kid. And I thought he dominated all week long. And I thought his movement skills against some of the best pass-rushing defensive ends and linebackers in the country were tremendous. So basically, I said to our guys at the Senior Bowl, I'm not so sure he's not better than Jokel. And I went back, and because I don't do the juniors until after the Senior Bowl, I went back and put the Jokel tape on. I'm like, wow, Jokel's a technician, and he's really good. But side to side, who do I like better? And after watching a bunch of tape over time, to me, Eric Fisher's got a higher upside and no lower downside. So why wouldn't I take the guy with the upside?
All right, so there you go. That is our little Mike Mayock segment in Eagles Live today. Dave Spitter with you. LeSean McCoy coming up in just a bit. Eagles wrapping up this pre-draft minicamp. Let's get to some telephone calls. 215-339-6709. Lots of things happening with minicamp and the music pumping. As the kids say, it's been popping around the NovaCare complex. Aren't I hip? All right, Patrick in New Jersey joins us. Hey, Patrick.
Hey, David. How are you today?
Super, buddy. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. Thanks for calling.
Just wanted to let you know how I'm feeling about the draft here.
Yeah.
I feel like if one of the two tackles is available, you obviously take them.
Offensive tackles you're talking about?
Yes.
Okay.
If both of those are taken, I feel like it's either going to be Star.
Lotulelei?
Yes. Or Deion Jordan.
Well, let me back up and say one thing about the draft. When you say both tackles, you're talking about Jokel and Fisher, right?
Yes, sir.
It seems to me that the name Lane Johnson is just getting pushed into the top 10 more and more. And then you hear even beyond that, there are other offensive tackles in the draft, perhaps later in the first round, second round, who are really high-quality players. I guess my point is, I think this draft is loaded with offensive tackles. That's why nobody's going out and breaking the bank for Eric Winston. That's why nobody's going out and breaking the bank for Andre Smith, two veteran, successful NFL offensive tackles who are still in free agency. But I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm saying that the Eagles could go OT first round. The question is, can they go OT second round, third round, and still get an immediate contributor who one day could be a star?
Right. I see what you're saying. I just think Johnson's a reach at four.
I don't know. I mean, I'm not a draft expert. I'm not sitting here watching film. But hey, how about what's the kid's name? DJ Fluker from Alabama. I mean, nobody knows him better than what Jeff Stoutland, the new offensive line coach, knows. Sitting at four, I guess my inclination right now would be to tell you, Patrick, that it would not shock me in the least if the Eagles got an offer and moved out of four.
How far back do you think they would be willing to move?
Willing to move. Good question. Middle of the first round? 13, 14, 15, that range?
Okay, so then you maybe go for a guy like Tavon Austin?
I'd be shocked if you draft Tavon Austin in the first round. You know, this is a team with DeSean Jackson, with Jeremy Maclin, with Jason Avant. You know, these are not the best receivers in the league, but they're pretty darn good.
What do you think about the guy Moma that they signed?
Yeah, I got to see him. Haven't really seen much of him. I think the word I hear about Ifeanyi Moma is this. Obviously 6 feet 7 inches tall, very fast, quicker than you'd think for a guy that long. Long arms, big hands, good hands, but really, really raw. Hasn't played football in 2 years. So is he an immediate? Is he somebody you say he's immediately going to contribute? Probably not. Can he make the team? Yeah. Yeah. And again,
I view him as a good red zone threat.
Patrick, but what's interesting about it, I can't tell you what kind of wide receivers Chip Kelly likes. Does he like big ones? Does he like small ones? Does he like him to get end arounds and run?
Larger receivers than Andy Reid, but that's not really saying much.
What kind of routes are they going to run? Wait, he does what more than Andy Reid?
I said he's signing larger receivers than Andy Reid.
Only Moma would be in that category.
I think Aurelius Ben would.
Aurelius Ben's no bigger than in fact, he's shorter than Riley Cooper. Aurelius Ben's a bit stockier. He's not as tall as you'd think. Yes. Cooper's a bigger receiver. But the point is, I get it. Will they, and listen, I think, and thank you for the call, Patrick. I think James Casey, at the end of the day, James Casey may be the one who, of all the additions here, free agency-wise, has a chance to make the most impact in his first year. That's all I think. I think he catches the ball really well. I think he's a terrific athlete. I think they plan to use him as a tight end, as a fullback, moving in the formation, all that. So, there we go. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, LeSean McCoy live on the field right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
With the 12th pick in the 2012 NFL Draft, the Philadelphia Eagles select
Mississippi State defensive tackle Fletcher Cox.
What a
is a Philadelphia Eagle. They traded up, but they didn't have to go all the way to 6 to get Fletcher Cox. They got him at 12. They gave up a 4th-round pick, a 6th-round pick.
This is the guy everyone in the media knew about. The Eagles interviewed him at the Combine. This guy gets upfield. I'm stunned. I didn't think they'd be able to get him. The fact of the matter is that he's going to be an Eagle. This is the guy that they came into draft wanting.
A lot of people like the speed around the edge that Vinnie Curry has.
They'll be able to get some depth at receiver if they really want some.
I think their aggressive style really fits well with Michael's play.
There's a player I really, really like. I would be surprised if he went in the second round.
You know, Ronnie, folks who save hundreds of dollars by switching to Geico sure are happy.
And how happy are they, Jimmy?
Happier than Christopher Columbus with speedboats.
That's happy.
Get happy. Get Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
We live in a smart world. Smart cars. Smart homes. Smart phones. Now it's your turn to be smart. Visit Smart Health today and get smart insights
health updates and health tips for you and your family.
An ankle sprain is an injury to one or more of the ligaments around the ankle, usually involving the outer aspect of the ankle. Ankle sprains occur from rolling the ankle during an athletic event. The severity of ankle sprains can range from a stretch injury to a partial tear to even complete tears of the ligaments. If you have sustained an ankle injury or any other sports-related injury, make an appointment at the Rothman Institute at Jefferson, the leading provider of orthopedic care in the region.
So, man, how's that Bud Light Pork Paradise cruise?
Oh, man. First day. So later on, it's all swing, baby, swing, swing, baby. Then we hit the ship's deck. Next day, there's this private island concert. So what'd you guys do?
4 days, 3 nights, a 2-day music festival, and one legendary party, Bud Light Pork Paradise. Here we go.
Join us on May 18th and 19th for Eagles Academy for Men. This is your chance to learn from the pros, play like the pros, and even eat like the pros. Now get the ins and outs of football from Eagles coaches, then put those skills to the test on the practice field with current Eagles players. Throughout the day, get a first-hand look at the Eagles practice facility, including the weight room, the training room, team meeting rooms, and even the locker room. Tickets are on sale now at PhiladelphiaEagles.com/Men's Academy.
Hi, I'm Pat Shermer, offensive coordinator. You're watching PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
We welcome you back. Dave Spadaro here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com, Eagles Live. This is our final live broadcast of the week. We start our draft coverage on Monday at noon. Eagles Draft Live. Can't wait. Speaking of the draft, if you want to feel the draft, look like the draft, be the draft, you got to wear the draft. And we've got the perfect hat for you. Speak with your cap. The new era draft 5950 cap available on PhiladelphiaEagles.com and at our pro shop at Lincoln Financial Field. Perhaps you'll be one of the many thousands coming to Lincoln Financial Field next week for the draft party on Thursday night. Check it out. Get down to the store. Gear up for 2013. Let's get back to the telephones. Chris in New York joins us. Hello, Chris.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
All right. Very excited about Eagles football.
Yeah, it's it.
Even though it's only April.
Explain this to me, Chris. You feel the energy back after a very tough 2012, correct?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I love Andy Reid, but, it's time for a change. I like what Chip seems to be bringing, and I hate to say it, I like picking the fourth pick.
Yeah. So what are you thinking?
I really like the – obviously, I've never seen him play, but I like the Eric Fisher.
You like the – now, from what I know, he's very athletic, got a nasty streak. I mean, your guess is as good as mine. That could be the guy. I don't know.
Yeah, to me, he kind of reminds me of what you hear about Runyon. I like that nasty streak, kind of a big guy. I'll be happy if they take him, the Johnson guy, or the other guy, Jokel, if he happens to fall in our lap, but.
I guess I've got to get off the offensive line just a little bit. I don't want to be disappointed if they don't take an offensive lineman early. Will they take one at some point? Yeah, I do think so. But yeah, I'm not here guaranteeing that they're going to take an offensive lineman at four.
No, I mean, like I said, you watch the drafts. It can be anyone. I feel bad for them. I mean, they got like five or six guys where there's, what's really the big difference,
Well, their Eagles, if they stay at four, you got a chance to get a premier talent. If you move back, you get extra draft picks. That is in a draft that's said to be very deep in talent. I guess my only, they're not going to do that thing is move up in the draft. I just don't think they're going to go 1, 2, 3. And it looks like Jokel goes to Kansas City, and people are saying Deion Jordan to the Jacksonville Jags. Oakland, who knows? And then Philadelphia, who knows?
Yeah, Oakland might take Tavon Austin. Who knows what they pick?
I mean, Tavon Austin's a dynamic talent. Isn't that what DeSean Jackson is?
No, I don't want him. That's it. I got Macklin. I got Jackson. I don't need another small, fast guy, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Okay.
Not to knock the guy.
And what about rounds 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7? Why does nobody ever talk about rounds 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7?
I'm actually hoping, maybe I'm crazy, I think the Eagles might pick a center early just because, you know, the uncertainty of Jason Kelce and his injury.
You know, he hasn't practiced in his camp, but I do think they feel very confident in his ability to come back. And it's not a draft designed to make the Eagles better for 1 year. They want to get players who are going to blossom for the next couple years. Here's a question for you, Chris.
Right.
Who's the next Eagle who has not made the Pro Bowl to make the Pro Bowl?
Who has never made a Pro Bowl?
Yeah, and I asked this question this morning of Howard Eskin, of all people, Philadelphia radio guru now with Fox Philadelphia, and it's hard to come up with somebody who's not been in the Pro Bowl.
Well, I mean, one guy kind of jumps to me. It's a possibility as a breakout. You know, Kelly could be Macklin. I mean, he's kind of teetering on it. But
I thought Fletcher Cox, but he may not have the number of sacks.
Yeah, Fletcher Cox, definitely, yeah.
Michael Kendricks, but is he going to be, you know, linebackers who make the Pro Bowl get a lot of sacks.
Yeah.
I don't know if
tough.
He'll be that kind of player.
I think. Yeah, I think McCoy's already made it. He's really the only.
Yeah. McCoy's made it. Jason Peters made it. Trent Cole's made it. Will Harriman's be that guy, maybe? Evan Mathis?
Well, Mathis could. He was close last year.
Yeah. Where's your next wave of young stud talent? And I think they liked last year's draft a lot, but it's not, you know, Pro Bowl positioning, guys. It's a linebacker, Vinnie Curry, defensive end. You know, I mean, who knows? Who knows?
Yeah, no, you're definitely correct. I'd say Cox is the only one that, you know, looks Pro Bowl status from that
point. Thanks for the call, Chris. It's something to think about.
Thank you.
Thank you, bro. It's something to think about. Who's your next wave of talented Pro Bowl? Bryce Brown to become a starter and become a star? I happen to think the Eagles are going to run the football a lot in this offense. And I think that both LeSean McCoy, who we're going to hear from very shortly, and Bryce Brown will have opportunities for big, big plays. So, you know. Hey, we talk about the spring and looking the right way and getting out on the golf course, something we all love to do, right? Well, if you go on the golf course, make your game, even if you stink, just look good. And here's how you look good with new Eagles golf gear available at the Philadelphia Eagles Pro Shop. Right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com at Lincoln Financial Field. Give it a go. Look at those funky colors. Love it. Bright, bold, new direction. Kind of like the Philadelphia Eagles on the football field, too. Dave Spadaro with you. It's Eagles Live here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Fun week here. Eagles have had their mini camp. We're going to wait for McCoy. He'll be coming up here in just 1 minute, people. And we haven't heard from LeSean. So I think he's one of those players who stands to benefit the most from the Chip Kelly offensive system. Quick phone call. Rashawn in New York joins us. Hey, Rashawn.
Hey.
Turn down your speakers, if you would, please.
Okay.
All right. You know what? Hey, Rashawn, hold on. We're going to go out to the field. LeSean McCoy meets the media.
Here we go.
What's your flavor? Favorite flavor of smoothies?
That's a good question. I'll try them all. I got a couple.
The best smoothie is probably the strawberry banana. Yeah. You should try some, man.
I do.
You work on your figure a little bit.
I know, you're right. I'm going to let you go with that. Keep going. From what you've seen of this offense so far, does it allow you to be more versatile?
Yeah. I think the biggest thing is just it lets me, with the backs, to kind of pick and choose our holes. And it's such a fast pace where a defense can get out of line, get out of alignment, and, man, there'd be big, wide-open gaps and seams. So I'm looking forward to having a big year, I mean, myself and other backs. So.
Is that going to translate into a lot of carries for you?
Well, I know in Coach Chip Kelly's in his past at Oregon, they ran the ball a lot, you know. So I feel like I could throw the ball and run the ball. I feel like the offense we have here fits the players very well. The linemen, offensive line can move, you know, very well laterally, and it's the playmakers around it. So running the ball, throwing the ball, I think he's very successful in both. Put tons of stats up and tons of yards doing both. So I look forward to doing catch the ball and run the ball.
So you know, balance was always kind of an issue over here for years. Offensive balance, run pass ratio. Could you get a sense right now whether that's still going to be an issue going under Chip, or what his style might be more like?
It's still early. It's still early to say, you know, because we're just really learning the plays. You know, and obviously you have more passing plays than you have run plays. So we're just kind of grasping the offense right now. But probably during camp, I could really give you an honest answer. You know, but it seems balanced. I mean, so far we're still learning. You know, but I think it's gonna take a little bit for us to really know the offense and really tell you if it's gonna be more of a pass or run type of balance.
When you watched film of what he did at Oregon and kind of saw where you might fit in that kind of style?
Well, we watched tons of cut-ups. Okay. You know, to kind of learn the offense a little better, get different alignments and things like that. So I haven't really watched tons of games, just clips on how to run the runs properly, you know, and depth on different routes. So, I mean, the offense looks amazing. I think it fits the scheme and the players there and the skill level very well.
What kinds of advantages do you think the offense has by going up-tempo?
Well, for one, we'll be in shape. I think we'll be the best shape in the league, for sure. Just the fast pace. I mean, there's never a time we're breaking. We hustle to working out, lifting weights, everything. Even the meetings are fast. So just that high tempo, high pace, I think, is a different presence to a defense, you know, because you get that 30 seconds rest. You're looking to see what personnel they're bringing in. Well, it's offense, and we're shifting, moving. As soon as you get tackled, you know, it's no celebrations after the play. It's strictly, you know, get the next play, let's go. So I think, I want to say by the second to third quarter, teams would be tired. You know, and as you've seen in Oregon, that's how they really win a lot of their games. And they get them points of scoring so fast. As a defense, you don't get a chance to really adjust because you're moving so much. You know, giving so many different illusions from different personnels coming in, running the same plays. So that's the biggest advantage.
Will there still be zone blocking?
Do you feel as physically strong after these practices as opposed to previous years now that you've been through?
Well, it's only the second practice. I can't really compare from now to then. You know, this is going to be my fifth year. I've been 4 years with Coach Reed. So I know how that feels. You know, and I haven't experienced a camp like his. So I have to wait and see. Like I said before, I've got to wait. It's only the second day or the third day. And it went fast. It went pretty well. So I think later on down the line, I could really tell you, give you an honest answer.
So you Chip did zone blocking at Oregon. Do you think that's what he'll do up here?
Yeah. I'm sure a lot of stuff you've seen in Oregon, you'll see here. I mean, he's kind of bringing that style, that offense. So.
You've always seemed like a running back, though, that benefits from that type of blocking.
Yeah.
Give you a little space to do your thing.
I mean, that's the first thing I noticed from just going over the plays and watching tape. There's so much room the backs had. You know, and that fits me, just to stop, go, you know, and pick out the spots I want. So I'm blessed to be in an office like this. And, I wasn't too sure when he came in, but actually seeing it, physically being there and learning, I felt very, very, very confident.
How do you think two backs fit in this offense? How do you think two backs fit in this type of, in Chip's offense, you know, with Bryce?
You're going to need another back in this offense. This is one of the offense where it's not a debate. I could do it myself because, for one, you're going to do more plays than any other offense. I mean, even the practices, the amount of plays we're doing. You know, so that's for one. For two is the amount of hits from just doing so many. You're running so much, you know. If you're faking it or you're running it for a pass or not, you're constantly going, you know. And I think any back, no matter how good or great of a shape he's in, he's going to need some extra help.
Do you think?
And I know that. I know that. And Bryce is good enough. He can play. I think every team has two good backs. If you look around the league, and I think Bryce is good enough. You know, and I'm confident in myself. I think us together we work well. And this offense, you need another back. You know, and don't be surprised if Chris Pope gets some carries because you're running so much. It's like a freaking track meet, like, you know. So you need some, like a relay. You need extra guys.
Chris said that this offense is like none he's really ever seen before. Is it really that different? Like, how is that for you?
It is different because you never play an offense where it's the tempo is so high. I mean, and it's so many plays and so fast. It's amazing how, you know, he's thought of this as far as just getting the plays in, then running the plays, and then soon you're done. You got to be aware of the next play, you know, and then you're running it that fast. I mean, we'll probably waste, maybe 10 seconds after the play is over, and that's it. And we're going and going and going. Well, they sent it in. They sent it in, like sign language type of stuff. It's like a basically it's like a no huddle type of offense, but way faster.
When you look at the changes you guys have made, you know every year there's changes, there's roster turnover, but can the coach make the biggest difference in the sense where you guys can go from where you were last year and the year before under Andy Reid, and all of a sudden a new coach and a few players, all of a sudden be a playoff team that goes deep?
Well, I think so. I mean, for a couple of years we haven't had any good seasons, but I feel like the players that Coach Reid has brought here are good players, you know. And I think Coach Chip, the offense and the type of players he's also bringing in, it fits as well. So I'm very confident to say that I see us as a team that could be back in the playoffs, you know, and one of the division better teams. So I can see that.
Do you see this offense as something that really fits your ability, maybe being used like you've never kind of been used before?
I think it's a different offense for sure, and I think it fits me. Like I said before, just the ability to give me open space and just use me in the passing game. And it's a creative the way they kind of use the backs, utilizing us in different ways to get us an open space, pick our own holes out, things like that. Where it's like it's a zone read, so everything's a read, so I can go backside, front side, wherever. I think that fits me best.
Chip is running shorter practices, shorter meeting sessions. Is that enough time for you guys to assimilate and feel what he's trying to do, especially with a whole new offense?
Oh, well, here's the thing. When we get the thing about having a fast-paced type of offense, you know, we do a lot of coaching on the field. So where in a normal offense, you might come out here and get 30 to 40 reps. You know, we're out here getting 100 and something plays off. So we're doubling the reps, you know, and we're getting it. It's fast-paced. So it's like kind of beating in your head, going over and over and over and over again. So it's one of the things where you kind of learn on the run. I mean, and just in 3 days, I feel like I got majority of the offense down.
And it only gets better. Any part of you that's skeptical just about whether it all worked?
Oh, well, I have confidence for sure, just from seeing it and believing in it. But I think you kind of get that confirmation when you really go out and play against a defense or even the your defense in camp. And if it's successful then it makes you more that insurance, like, oh, it's going to work. You know, so, yeah, I would say so. It's, you get that feel where you're still curious because you haven't did it yet in NFL. Mm-hmm. But every day you see it, and it looks promising, you know. So it's kind of in the middle, to be honest. So you can't go off of something that you haven't done yet. But as far as practicing and learning, you know, I feel confident about it.
Brent was talking yesterday about how excited he is about the communication on offense, the changes to the communication. Do you agree with that?
Yeah. I think every player is different, you know. I was perfectly fine with the communication that we had in the past. So everybody's different, and they might learn differently. So that's his opinion.
When Chip Kelly was hired, you didn't know much about the offense, I'm assuming. What did you think then? Did you have a lot of questions? Did you wonder how you were going to fit in?
I just figured he'd find a way to give me the ball. No, I didn't know. I just, you know, I seen tape I seen the games. Oregon put tons of points up each game. Electrifying offense. That's all I really knew. So the best thing I knew about that was we're bringing a great offense in. But as a coach, he's a great guy. I didn't know him, and I feel like I'm getting to know him a little better each day. He's a good guy. He's a hard worker. And he's a straight shooter, man. What you see is kind of what you get. I like him. I like him.
Okay, thanks, LeSean.
Yep.
All right, very good. That is LeSean McCoy talking about this Eagles offense and practice tempo and why he thinks it will be good for him. I think we all agree that he should benefit greatly in this offense. Tough year for McCoy last year with the injuries, and you just kind of expect him to get back into the mix as a Pro Bowl running back. We'll have more from the locker room as players end this minicamp. What's that again? Oh. Yeah, we're going to get to Kaplan in just a minute here. Adam Kaplan in shortly. We've got Rashawn in New York on the telephone. Don't want to leave him hanging. Rashawn, you still there?
Yes, I'm still here.
Hey, man, how are you?
I'm fine.
Good. What's up?
I have one big question that I'm kind of worried about offense. With Michael Vick and, like, McCoy came out and said that he thinks Vick would be the guy, and with Michael Vick saying that, basically he is the guy. What do you think it messes up the locker room if Nick Foles ends up winning the job over Michael Vick?
Yeah, and thanks for the call. If Nick Foles wins the job, it's because Nick Foles has gone out and earned the job. When you get an idea of what Chip is doing here at practice, he's just throwing guys on the field, getting as many reps as he can, so that the position coaches can then look at the practices and start grading the players to understand what they're working with. So while Michael and Nick are splitting the first team reps, the truth is they're even, and this has got a long way to go. Let the best man win the job. I like the idea of have players earn the job based on what they do in practice, not on what they did in past years. I don't think it would send a bad message at all if Nick wins the job, or if G.J. Kinney wins the job, or if Dennis Dixon wins the job. You go out there, and the best player wins the job. All right, we take a break now. When we come back, Adam Kaplan joins us in the studio. Countdown to draft begins now. We're 1 week out. This is when you find out if there's any fire to where all the smoke has been these last several weeks. We'll check it all out with our insider, Adam Kaplan. Come right back on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Here we are, me and you, on the road. And we know that it goes on.
You're the boss of your life, in charge of making memories and keeping promises. Ask your financial professional how Lincoln Financial can help you take charge of your future.
There's a sight, a sound, a taste to this town.
Hot Italian bread ready for dinner.
Over 500 varieties of produce, fresh every day.
Custom cut just for you.
Acme, everything from local produce to Lancaster beef from family-owned farms to breads baked all day.
Salty or sweet?
My neighborhood, my Acme.
So, man, how's that Bud Light Port Paradise cruise?
Oh, man. First day. So later on, it's all swing, baby, swing, swing, baby. Then we hit the ship's deck. Next day, there's this private island concert. So what'd you guys do?
4 days, 3 nights, a two-day music festival, and one legendary party, Bud Light Port Paradise. Here we go.
Join us on May 18th and 19th for Eagles Academy for Men. This is your chance to learn from the pros, play like the pros, and even eat like the pros. Now get the ins and outs of football from Eagles coaches, then put those skills to the test on the practice field with current Eagles players. Throughout the day, get a first-hand look at the Eagles practice facility, including the weight room, the training room, team meeting rooms, and even the locker room. Tickets are on sale now at PhiladelphiaEagles.com/Men's Academy.
I'm Bob Bicknell, wide receivers coach, and you're watching PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Well, we are 1 week out from the NFL draft. We're in the studio now with Adam Kaplan, our draft and NFL insider. Adam, we've waited a long time to get to this point, right? So we've all been throwing darts up there and seeing what's...
mock drafts, yes.
I think now's the time when you really focus in, and some of these rumors go away, and then where there's smoke, there's fire. What's really happening out there, Adam? What's going to happen in the next week here for teams?
Teams have really, they generally have their draft boards 90% set at the combine. At this point now, when we're exactly a week from the draft, you're just tweaking a little bit, because remember, the Eagles just finished up all of their visits, had to be done by Wednesday. You can still work players out next week, but they pretty much have all the information. Now they have to have their scouting meetings. All their scouts are in. They go over the information one more time, and they kind of tweak just a little bit. And then they focus on that group of players. For instance, this particular team, the Eagles, are at four. They probably have four or five players they're looking at. And then scenarios, as one executive told me late last night, his team is in the middle of the first round. They're looking at trades up or trades down, who they would like if they trade up, and if they trade down, who would they like there?
Will there be a market, do you think, for the Eagles to trade out of four and move back in the first round?
I think that there would be a market. I think Lane Johnson could be that hot button guy where you see the Dolphins, the Chargers, looking, Dave, for that left tackle. There are only three elite left tackles for this draft. You better trade up if you're at seven. Seven is that point that there's no way that Lane Johnson gets past the Cardinals at seven. So you better trade up in front of the Cardinals at seven if you want them.
And what kind of phone conversations can Howie Roseman expect to have here in the next six, 7 days?
I think what happens is every team talks to every team. All 32 teams, they're talking, and they're just kind of getting an idea. Hey, if you're interested in trade up, you know, we'd be looking to talk to you. In fact, if you talked to Howie Roseman, it was a good piece he had, where he talked about with Seattle, you know, they talked up leading to the draft, what they would do. Those are the conversations you want to have a week before, and you keep talking. And then you never know, because if you wait till 24 hours before to start talking or to create a scenario, it's kind of too late. So you probably want to start now.
I don't know anything really, so I'm guessing here. You tell me if I'm off base. Okay. I don't believe the Eagles take a quarterback at four.
I would agree with you.
I believe the Eagles will be open, certainly, to moving down from four.
I would agree with you.
I believe that it is very much up in the air whether it would be an offensive player or a defensive player at number four.
I would at number four?
Yeah.
I would say that as we are a week away from the draft, if Deion Jordan is there, I think he's going to be their guy. It's just based on it. By the way, it's nothing to do with Chip Kelly. I know people think that it has to do with it. It's about what they're going to do on defense. And Howie Roseman made a really interesting point during one of his press briefings earlier this week. He said, we want to know after 3 years, is this going to be a great player? Well, Deion Jordan in 3 years might be the best player from this draft. If he's that guy, you take him.
Do you believe that he'll be there at four? How do you see the first three picks?
That's the other thing. I think if you want Deion Jordan, you want to make sure you get him. You might have to trade up to two, because I think Deion Jordan might go number two to Jacksonville. Three, who knows? The Raiders, Dave, have so many needs on both sides of the football. They certainly could go with Deion Jordan. So to me, if Deion Jordan is the guy, I think you might have to trade up. That is the guy, trade-up guy, by the way.
And is it true that Andy Reid really looking to move out of that number one position? And do you see a team trying to get up there?
I reported this back at the Combine. That was kind of my the one thing I had heard. It was very obvious to two executives I spoke to. Andy Reid wants to trade out. He was kind of querying other teams, hey, what are you looking to do? We certainly would be willing to talk to you if you wanted to trade up. The problem is I don't think number one is very valuable. I think 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 are extremely valuable. That's that hot button guy section. If you want that offensive tackle, you got to trade there.
Adam, the Eagles have gone through 3 days of minicamp here, and they look ahead to the draft, of course. But there are still some quality veterans on the streets. And historically, there have been players signed between now and the draft. Do you anticipate that happening for the Philadelphia Eagles?
I think there's a chance that you might see a tackle sign, okay, a right tackle. You know, Eric Winston's name has been thrown out there. He needs to make a decision. But the longer you wait if you're a free agent, the less the money is there for you to sign.
I would think there'd be no market after the draft for Eric Winston.
You're right, because obviously teams will draft that position. Now, the Eagles are in tremendous cap shape. $23.1 million. They need $5 to $6 million for the rookie pool, so they can do whatever they want if they want to. They probably at some point will sign a veteran inside linebacker. You need a little bit of experience, but you can get that in July. But again, they're in the right tackle market. But I would say this, as you said, and you're right, they may draft that guy, and they won't need that veteran.
Last question, is Eric Winston a better fit for the Eagles than would a first, second, or third round draft
pick? It's a good question. The thing is, the athleticism from these three tackles, a little bit better than Eric Winston. But what you have is Eric Winston. You've got starts under your belt. This guy's been a starter for a long time. Guy's really a class individual who you'd love to have on your team. And the other thing about Eric Winston is he's experienced winning. He experienced winning with the Texans when they change things around. So he's a guy you'd like to have, but I think you make a fair point. If it's going to be if the Eagles are going to draft a tackle in the first round, there's no way they're signing Eric Winston.
All right. Adam Kaplan, we thank you for joining us in the studio here. We will talk to you all of next week as we get closer and closer to the 2013 NFL Draft.
We live in a smart world. Smart cars, smart homes, smart phones. Now it's your turn to be smart. Visit Smart Health today and
and get smart insight, health updates, and health tips for you and your family.
How to awesome a road game. Step one, work the Saturday shift. Step two, go to Xfinity.com/TV to watch your team live. Step three, show your support in any way you can. Awesome is the most live sports with Xfinity TV. Xfinity, the future of awesome.
To master the cross, one must possess coordination and agility. Execute every pass with precision and evade every opponent until the moment is just right. 3 days, three championships, the ultimate lacrosse experience at the 2013 NCAA Men's Lacrosse Championships. Experience it live as Divisions 1, 2, and 3 national championships are awarded May 25th through the 27th at Lincoln Financial Field in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Tickets start at $60. Visit ncaa.com/lacrosse and make a date with champions.
We welcome you back. A reminder, our broadcast schedule next week, we are live every day. Monday at noon, we begin our Eagles Draft Live coverage. And then we're going to be live Tuesday, Wednesday, and, of course, Thursday night. Yes, we are. Yes, we are. That's the plan. That's the plan. Yeah. And somebody should tell me then that. We're live every day. Let's go into the store and tell you a little bit about some great Eagles wear. There you go. Unleash some speed. LeSean McCoy. Shop Nike NFL jerseys. Online at PhiladelphiaEagles.com as well as at the Pro Shop at Lincoln Financial Field. Connor Barwin. Going to be a big part of this Eagles defense, isn't he? Now, he'll be a linebacker in a 4-3. When they play 4-3, he'll be a linebacker in a 3-4 as well. Will he be strong side? Will he be weak side? I do not know. But he met with the people on the NFL Network and kind of broke down a little bit of his interpretation of what's going on with the Philadelphia Eagles after some very successful years with the Houston Texans.
Let's welcome in the new Eagles linebacker who's waiting for us in Philadelphia. Now, Connor, how's everything going in your new digs?
It's going pretty good so far.
Look, you're coming from a franchise that was pretty cohesive, pretty stable, to a franchise now with a new head coach and a defense in transition. What about kind of making that type of change?
Well, it's definitely a little bit different than being in Houston, but this is a much older franchise, a much historic franchise, and as far as the defense goes, we look a little bit different, but we're going to run some type of 3-4 style, so that fits what I'm able to do best.
Well, Connor, you're saying that 3-4 style that you're going to do, what position do they have you working at, outside linebacker or rush in?
Well, I'll be playing outside linebacker, but it's more of a hybrid type defense. But for me, I'll be playing outside linebacker and playing some defensive end in pass rush situations.
Connor, are you surprised or perhaps disappointed that the Texans didn't work harder to try to keep you?
Well, no, I wouldn't say I'm surprised. I mean, if you talked to me before the whole process, I fully thought I'd be back there. But this is the nature of the business. You know, we tried to make something work, but it didn't work. And I had to move on, and I'm excited to be here in Philly. And in Houston has to move on as well.
Well, you know, Connor, when you left Houston, you came up with more of the creative ways to say thank you.
It was outstanding.
To the folks in Houston with a fabulous newspaper ad where you're thanking everybody from the people in Houston to your pizza delivery guy to Blaine Gabbert, who you tended to get a few sacks on. What kind of feedback have you gotten from that? Because it was a stroke of genius, man.
Well, I got a lot of good feedback, and that's what made Houston such a great place. It was not only the organization, but the people that I got to meet there in my 4 years. So I didn't want to just thank, you know, Bob McNair and Rick Smith and the coaches, but there's a lot of other people that made my time there enjoyable. So I thought I would try to thank everybody.
Yeah, I'm sure Blaine Gabbert has you on his holiday mailing list as well. Hey, tell me this, Connor. You know, one of the things we saw you 2 years ago, you put up the big sack numbers, and we saw those numbers go down last year. What kind of happened? What was the main reason for that decline in production? or at least decline in sacks, I should say.
Yeah, well, there was this guy named J.J. Watt that came in and got about 20 sacks, which takes away
greedy.
Some of the numbers. Yeah, he got a couple that the rest of us would have liked to get. But we lost Brian Cushing early, which really hurt us in protection, which caused me and Brooks Reed to have to, you know, hit tight ends before we even got into our pass rush. It caused us to drop more in coverage. So there's a lot of different things that were different the way we ran our defense last year than it was 2 years ago with the loss, and not only Brian Cushing, but the other losses we had at inside linebacker.
Connor, your impressions of Chip Kelly so far?
So far, so good. I mean, I think he's kind of the new wave. He's very forward-thinking, and we've been here working out now 2 weeks, I think, and we're in our third day of minicamp, and I'm really excited about, you know, the way he does things and the way we're doing things down here.
Connor, you've played against them. You've been around the league long enough now. You've played against good quarterbacks. You've played with good quarterbacks. From what you've seen so far, yeah, and I'm putting you on the spot, who gives the Eagles the best chance next year, Vic or Foles?
You know, honestly, I would give you an answer, but I have no idea. I mean, I'm kind of locked into trying to learn this new defense. But so far, everybody looks good. I mean, Vic's making all the throws. As far as I can tell, Foles is making all the throws. So I think it'll be a pretty close competition to see who gets it.
Well, you're saying Vic's making all the throws and so is Foles. So is Vic looking like his old self? And if so, do you think that would be the best route to go?
I mean, I'm new down here. I've been down here maybe 12 days, so I don't think I'm the right guy to ask.
What about Dennis Dixon?
Yeah, he looks good.
Listen, you know, you're seeing this team for the first time with a fresh eye. Vic said yesterday, it's still my team. Do you get that sense in the locker room on the field?
I'm new here in Philadelphia, and from the outside looking in, you know, you kind of view the Eagles as Vic's team, just, you know, from being on a different team. And so far being here, I would say it kind of seems like that. But, again, I've only been here 2 weeks.
Well, Connor, we appreciate you joining us here at NFL AM. We expect you to take out a full-page ad with the LA Times thanking us among a lot of other people that you can thank for this appearance.
Yes, thank you, guys.
All right, well done, Connor.
All right, there you go. That is Connor Barwin, Eagles linebacker, discussing his early feelings here on the way things are running with Chip Kelly, with his Eagles defense, Bill Davis overseeing a defense that, listen, needs to develop some chemistry. A lot of new faces here, a new system, a whole new way of doing things, really, on both sides of the ball. We focus so much on the defense, on the offense. All right, Coca-Cola, great sponsors here, Philadelphia Eagles, running a Live Positively promotion that we want you to take part in. Tell us how your kids live positively by sharing how your child participates in a healthy and active lifestyle. Enter for the chance to play on Lincoln Financial Field with Eagles players. Winners will be invited down on May 6th to Lincoln Financial Field to participate in on-field fun, followed by dinner and gifts. Check it out on PhiladelphiaEagles.com and get those submissions in to us. We also have something to tell you about with Teva. Teva Pharmaceuticals has been a great sponsor of the Philadelphia Eagles for many years here, a great part in the Eagles' efforts in the community, which, by the way, we're going to get to a piece from yesterday. But for Teva, they do a great thing with this Community Quarterback Award, and it's an opportunity for you to recognize a volunteer or a program that salutes outstanding citizens who make a difference in our community. Outstanding volunteers from across the tri-state area will be recognized this year as community quarterbacks. Philadelphia Eagles will make a donation to each nonprofit organization served by the 10 community quarterback finalists. The 10 finalists will be honored by the Eagles for their efforts at a recognition event held in December. Please nominate your candidate for community quarterback, and you have a chance for a prize. Total package is $100,000. Okay, yesterday, Mayor Michael Nutter, Philadelphia, announcing that this city will host the Beyond Sports Summit in September. Of course, the Eagles recognized in 2011 as the Beyond Sport Team Award winner in the world. Let's go to the mayor's office, Don Smolenski, Christina Weiss-Laurie, Brian Dawkins representing the Philadelphia Eagles. Philadelphia will be the site of the 2013 Beyond Sports Summit from September 9th to September 11th. Mayor Michael Nutter announced this week at a City Hall press conference. And, of course, for the Philadelphia Eagles, this is a big deal. The Eagles won the Beyond Sport Award in 2011. For the work in the community, the Eagles will host the annual event for the global organization that promotes and funds sports as a vehicle for social change. Eagles President Don Smolenski continuing the organization's commitment to the community.
And that's really initially where it started in terms of, you know, the giving back to the community and being involved in community is a part of our DNA as it is with the other sports teams in the area and all of the great work that we all do together. And, you know, we didn't hesitate to step in and get involved because it showcased the city, showcased all the teams, showcased all of the great work that's done in the community.
The Eagles were also represented at the press conference by Christina Weiss-Laurie, the president of Eagles Youth Partnership and Eagles Social Responsibility, and former Eagles safety Brian Dawkins also on hand. For Weiss-Laurie, having Beyond Sport in Philadelphia is very important.
Philadelphia is such a sports city. There's no greater sports city in America. And so we're just delighted and excited. I mean, we know that sport can be a catalyst, but true change happens when we partner with all different organizations and diverse communities, and the summit is a perfect example of that happening right in our backyard.
The Eagles were named the 2011 Sport Team of the Year by Beyond Sport. Beyond Sport is a global organization that promotes, develops, and supports the use of sport to create positive social change across the world. All right, good stuff there. Eagles continuing to work very hard in the community, something that this organization proud of every single day of the year. We thank you for joining us on Eagles Live today. Make sure you tune into Eagles Update tonight, and we'll update you on what's going on here. Of course, the NFL schedule released at 8 p.m. We'll have full coverage for you as well. And we're back live on Monday. Eagles Draft Live kicks off a week of coverage right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. I'm Dave Spadaro. Thanks for joining us, everyone. Have yourselves a great Eagles day.
I'm fighting for the world.